good afternoon. It's Rod McClure here with our Monday afternoon book reading. And we've been reading Ivanhoe by Sir Walter Scott. But before we go on with that, just a word from the people who help make our station operate so well.
Our sponsor, IGA Braidwood, is an independent retailer supporting the local community of Braidwood and the surrounding villages.
They have a wide range of specialist foods, wines, beers and spirits.
They provide free delivery in the town of Braidwood.
And they still provide old-fashioned friendly service.
Located at 50 Wallace Street and open 7 days a week.
They can be contacted on 4842 2451.
Duller Curtains and Blinds, trusted for more than 50 years for Australian-made quality. We can enhance your indoor-outdoor lifestyle. Discover Australia's largest range of outdoor blinds and awnings and keep your home insulated from the elements with eco-friendly fabrics and easy-to-use automation. Experience a whole new level of service and book your free design, measure and quote today. The easiest way to upgrade your home. Duller Curtains and Blinds. Value in every dollar.
Your nearest store is at Batemans Bay at 21 Princess Highway, and you can contact them by phone on 4472 8033. A proud sponsor of Braidwood FM.
JG Earthworks is your one-stop shop for all your excavation needs. From big to small, Joel and his team do it all. Landscaping, backyard cleanups, roadworks and driveways, site clearing and levelling, dam cleaning and construction, motocross and supercross tracks. Check out his website at www.jgearthworks.com to get a full view of services available. Or call Joel on 0406 869 618 for a free quote and expert advice. Let JG Earthworks do your dirty work. JG Earthworks, proud supporter of Braidwood FM.
Looking for a building carpentry company for minor home refurbishments, commercial factory maintenance, farm infrastructure such as stables, yards and arenas?
Then call Peter at ECP, the experienced construction professionals with over 30 years of commercial and residential works throughout New South Wales.
Braidwood based and now servicing the coast of Canberra, Goulburn and Nowra.
Contact Peter for a chat about your next project on 0410 698 734.
ECP, a proud sponsor of Braidwood FM 88.9.
And thank you again to our sponsors. Well, we've been reading Ivanhoe. However, just a quick announcement. There'll be no Hot Topics with Bill tonight. He'll be back next week. So no Hot Topics with Bill Waterhouse. He'll be back next week. Well, Friar Tuck has been found. And where else would you find Friar Tuck? Well, except in the wine cellar of Count de Boeuf's castle. We continue on. "We can bear witness," said Gilbert. "For when we had cleared away the ruin, and by St. Dunstan's help lighted upon the dungeon stair, we found the runlet of sack half empty, or the Jew was half dead, and the friar more than half exhausted, as he calls it." "Ah, you be knaves, you lie," retorted the offended friar. "It was you and your gormandizing companions that drank up the sack, and called it your morning draught. I am a pagan, and I kept it not for the captain's own throat. But what recks it? Ah, the Jew is converted and understands all I have told him, very nearly, if not altogether, as well as I do."
"Jew," said the captain, "is this true? Have you renounced your belief, or really your unbelief?"
"Oh, may I find mercy in your eyes," said the Jew, "as I know not one word which the reverend prelate spake to me all this fearful night. Alas, I was so distraught with agony and fear and grief that had our holy father Abraham come to preach to me, he had found but a deaf listener."
"You liest, Jew, and you know you do," said the friar. "I will remind you but of one word of our conference. You did promise to give all your substance to our holy order."
"Well, so help me, the promise, fair sirs," said Isaac, even more alarmed than before, "as no such sounds ever crossed my lips. Alas, I am an aged beggar man. I fear me a childless. Ah, have mercy on me. Let me go."
"No," said the friar, "if you do retract vows made in favour of Holy Church, you must do penance."
Accordingly, he raised his halberd and would have laid the staff of it lustily on the Jew's shoulders, had not the Black Knight stopped the blow and thereby transferred the holy clerk's resentment to himself. "By St. Thomas of Kent," said he, "and I buckle to my own gear, I will teach thee, sir lazy lover, to meddle with your own matters, and even though you're in that iron case there." "Nay, be not angry with me," said the knight. "You know I am your sworn friend and comrade." "I know no such thing," answered the friar, "and I defy you for a meddling coxcomb." "No, but," said the knight, who seemed to take a pleasure in provoking his host, "have you forgotten how that for my sake, for I say nothing of the temptation of the flagon and the pasty, you did break your vow of fast and vigil?"
"Ah, truly, friend," said the friar, clenching his huge fist, "I will bestow a buffet on you."
"I accept no such presents," said the knight. "I am content to take your cuff as a loan, but I will repay you with usury as deep as ever your prisoners there exacted in his traffic."
"I will prove that presently," said the friar.
"Whoa," cried the captain. "What are you after, mad friar, brawling beneath our trysting tree?"
"No brawling," said the knight. "It is but a friendly interchange of courtesy. Friar, strike if you dare. I'll stand your blow if you will stand mine." "You have the advantage of that iron pot on your head," said the churchman. "But have it thee, down you go, even though you were Goliath of Gath in his brass helmet."
The friar laid bare his brawny arm up to the elbow, and putting his full strength to the blow, gave the knight a buffet that might have felled an ox, but his adversary stood firm as a rock. A loud shout was uttered by all the yeomen round, for the clerk's cuff was proverbial amongst them, and there were few who, in jest or earnest, had not had occasion to know its vigour.
"Now, priest," said the knight, pulling off his gauntlet, "if I had vantage on my head, I'll have none on my hand. Stand fast as a true man." "Genem meum dedi vapopulatari. I have given my cheek to the smiter," said the priest, "and you can stir me from the spot, fellow. I'll freely bestow on you the Jew's ransom."
So spoke the burly priest, assuming on his part high defiance. But who may resist his fate? The buffet of the knight was given with such strength and goodwill that the friar rolled head over heels upon the plain, to the great amazement of all the spectators, but he arose neither angry nor crestfallen.
"Brother," said he to the knight, "you should have used your strength with more discretion. I had mumbled but a lame mass, and you have broken my jaw, for the piper plays ill that wants the nether chops. Nevertheless, here is my hand, in friendly witness that I will exchange no more cuffs with you, having been a loser by the barter. End now all unkindness. Let us put the Jew to ransom, since the leopard will not change his spots, and a Jew he will continue to be."
"The priest," said Clement, "is not half so confident of the Jew's conversion since he received that buffet on the ear."
"Oh, go to, knave. What prattle you of conversions? What, is there no respect? All masters and no men? I tell you, fellow, I was somewhat totty when I received the good knight's blow, or I had kept my ground under it. But you jibest more of it, and you will learn I can give as well as take."
"Peace, everybody," said the captain. "And you, Jew, think of your ransom. You need not be told that your race are held to be the accursed in all Christian communities, and trust me that we cannot endure your presence among us. Think, therefore, of an offer, while I examine a prisoner of another caste."
"Were many of Front de Bœuf's men taken?" demanded the Black Knight.
"None of note, enough to be put to ransom," answered the captain. "A set of hiding fellows there were, whom we dismissed to find them a new master. Enough had been done for revenge and profit. The bunch of them were not worth a single small coin. The prisoner I speak of is better booty, a jolly monk riding to visit his leman, as I may judge by his horse gear and wearing apparel. Here comes the worthy prelate, as pert as a pyot." And between the two yeomen was brought before the sylvan throne of the outlaw chief, our friend, Prior Aymer of Jorvalo. Chapter 33.
the captive abbot's features and manners exhibited a whimsical mixture of offended pride and deranged foppery and bodily terror.
"Why, how now, my masters?" said he, with a voice in which all three emotions were blended. "What order is this among you? Be you Turks or Christians that handle a churchman?
Know you what it is, manus imponere in service domini? You have plundered my mails, torn my cope of curious cut lace, which might have served a cardinal. Another in my place would have been at his excommunicabo vos. But I am placable, and if you order forth my palfreys, release my brethren, and restore my mails, tell down with all speed 100 crowns to be expended in masses at the high altar of Jorvo Abbey, and make your vow to eat no venison until next Pentecost, it may be you will hear little more of this mad frolic."
"Holy Father," said the chief outlaw, "it grieves me to think that you have met with such usage from any of my followers, as calls for your fatherly reprehension."
"Usage!" echoed the priest, encouraged by the mild tone of the sylvan leader. "It were usage fit for no hound of good race, much less for a Christian, far less for a priest, and least of all for the prior of the holy community of Jorvo. Here is a profane and drunken minstrel called Alan Adale, nebulo quidam, who has menaced me with corporal punishment, no, with death itself, and I pay not down 400 crowns of ransom to the boot of all the treasure he has already robbed me of, gold change, gimel rings to an unknown value, besides what is broken and spoiled among their rude hands, such as my ponset box and silver crisping tongs. It is impossible that Alan Adale could have treated a man of your reverend bearing so," replied the captain.
"It is true to the gospel of St. Nicodemus," said the prior. "He swore with many a cruel north country oath that he would hang me upon the highest tree in the greenwood."
"Did he so in very deed?"
"Oh, no, reverend father, I think you had better comply with his demands, for Alan Adale is a man, well, a very man to abide by his word when he has so pledged it."
You do but jest with me," said the astounded prior with a forced laugh, "and I love a good jest with all my heart. When the mirth has lasted the livelong night, it's time to be grave in the morning."
"And I am as grave as a father confessor," replied the outlaw. "You must pay a round ransom, Sir Prior, or your convent is likely to be calling a new election, for your place will know you no more."
"Are you Christians?" said the prior, and holding his language. "And hold this language to a churchman?"
"Christians? Oh, yeah, we are, and have divinity amongst us to boot," answered the outlaw. "Let our buxom chaplain stand forth and expound to this reverend father the texts which concern this matter."
Well, the friar, half drunk, half sober, had huddled a friar's frock over his green cassock, and now summoning together whatever scraps of learning he had acquired by rote in former days,
"Holy Father," said he, "Deus faciat salvum benignitatem vestrum. You are welcome to the greenwood."
"What profane mummery is this?" said the prior. "Friend, if you be indeed of the church, it were better deed to show me how I may escape from these men's hands than to stand ducking and grinning here like a Morris dancer."
"Oh, truly, reverend father," said the friar, "I know but one mode in which you may escape. This is St. Andrew's Day with us. We are taking tithes."
"But not of the church, then, I trust, my good brother," said the prior.
"Oh, of church and lay," said the friar, "and therefore, Sir Prior, facite vobis amicos de mammoni iniquitatus. Make yourselves friends of mammon and of unrighteousness, for no other friendship is like to serve your turn."
"I love a jolly woodsman at heart," said the prior, softening his tone. "Come, you must not deal too hard with me. I can well of woodcraft, and can wind a horn as clear and lustily, and hallo till every oak rings again. Oh, come, you must not deal too hard with me."
"Give him a horn," said the outlaw. "We will prove the skill he boasts of."
The prior aimer winded a blast accordingly. The captain shook his head. "Sir Prior," he said, "you blow a merry note, but it may not ransom you. We cannot afford, as the legend on a good knight's shield has it, to set you free for a blast. Moreover, I have found you. You are one of those who, with new French graces and tra-li-la-ras, disturb the ancient English bugle notes. Prior, that last flourish on the reach-at-cat has added 50 crowns to your ransom for corrupting the true old manly blasts."
"Well, friend," said the abbot peevishly, "you are ill to please with my woodcraft. I pray you to be more conformable in this matter of my ransom. At a word, since I must needs for once hold a candle to the devil, what ransom am I to pay for walking on Watling Street without having 50 men at my back?"
"Were it not well," said the lieutenant of the gang apart to the captain, "that the prior should name the Jew's ransom, and the Jew name the prior's."
"You are a mad knave," said the captain, "but your plan transcends. Here, Jew, step forth. Look at that holy Father Aymer, prior of the rich abbey of Jorvaulx, and tell us at what ransom we should hold him. You know the income of his confant. Confant, I warrant."
Assuredly, said Isaac. "I have trafficked with the good fathers, and bought wheat and barley and fruits of the earth, and also much wool. Oh, it is a rich abbey stead, and they do live upon the fat and drink sweet wines upon the lees, these good fathers of Jorvaulx. If an outcast like me had such a home to go to, and such incomings by the year, oh, by the month, I would pay much gold and silver to redeem my captivity."
"Hound of a Jew," exclaimed the prior, "no one knows better than your own cursed self that our holy house of God is indebted for the finishing of our and for the storing in your cellars in the last season, with all due allowance of Gascon wine," interrupted the Jew.
But it's a small matter." "Hear the infidel dog," said the churchman. "He jangles as if our holy community did come under debts for the wines we have a license to drink, proptor necessitatum et ad frigis depellendum. The circumcised villain, he blasphemes the holy church, and Christian men listen, and they rebuke him not."
"All this helps nothing," said the leader. "Isaac, pronounce what he may pay without flaying both hide and hair."
"600 crowns, said Isaac. "The good prior might well pay to your honoured valours and never sit less soft in his stall."
600 crowns, said the leader gravely. "I'm content you have spoken, Isaac. 600 crowns. It is a sentence, Sir Prior."
A sentence.
A sentence, exclaimed the band. "Solomon had not done it better." "You hear your doom, prior."
You are mad, my master," said the prior. "Where am I to find such a sum? If I sell the very picks and candlesticks on the altar at Jorvaulx, I shall scarcely raise the half, and it will be necessary for that purpose that I go to Jorvaulx myself. You may retain as borrows my 2 priests.
"That will be but a blind trust," said the outlaw. "We will retain you, prior, and send them to fetch your ransom. You will not want a cup of wine and a collop of venison the while, and if you love woodcraft, well, you shall see such as your north country never witnessed."
"Oh, if it so please you," said Isaac, willing to curry favour with the outlaws, "I can send to York for the 600 crowns, out of certain monies in my hands, if so be that the most reverend prior present will grant me acquittance."
"Ah, he shall grant you whatever you dost list, Isaac," said the captain, "and you shall lay down the redemption money for Prior Aymer as well as for yourself."
For myself? Courageous sirs,"
said the Jew. I am a broken, impoverished man. A bigger staff must be my portion through life. Supporting... Ah, supposing I were to pay you 50 crowns. The prior will judge the matter. How say you, Father Aymer? Can the Jew afford a good ransom? Could he afford a ransom? Answered the prior. Is he not Isaac of York? Rich enough to redeem the captivity of the 10 tribes of Israel, who were led into Assyrian bondage? I have seen but little of him myself, but our cellarer and treasurer have dealt largely with him, and report says his house at York is so full of gold and silver as is a shame in any Christian land. Marvel it is to all living Christian hearts that such gnawing adders should be suffered to eat into the bowels of the state, and even Holy Church herself, with foul usuries and extortions. Hold, Father, said the Jew, mitigate and assuage your choler. I pray of your reverence to remember that I forced my monies upon no one. But when churchmen and laymen, prince and prior, knight and priest come knocking to Isaac's door, they borrow not his shekels with these uncivil terms. It is then, friend Isaac, will you pleasure us in this matter, and our day shall be truly kept. So God save me, and kind Isaac, if ever you served man, show yourself a friend in his need, and when the day comes and I ask my own, then what I hear, I but a damned Jew, and the curse of Egypt on your tribe, and all that may stir up the rude and uncivil populace against poor strangers. Prior, said the captain, Jew though he is, he has in this spoken well. Do you further name his ransom as he named yours, without farther rude terms? None, but latro famosus, the interpretation whereof, said the prior, will I give at some other time and tide, would place a Christian prelate and an unbaptized Jew upon the same bench. But since you require me to put a price upon this caitiff, I tell you openly that you will wrong yourselves if you take from him a penny under 1,000 crowns. A sentence, a sentence, said the chief outlaw. A sentence, a sentence, shouted his assessors. The Christian has shown his good nurture and dealt with us more generously than the Jew. O God of my fathers, help me, said the Jew. Will you bear to the ground an impoverished creature? I am this day childless, and will you deprive me of the means of a livelihood?
You will have the less to provide for, Jew, if you are childless, said Aymer.
Alas, my lord, said Isaac, your law permits you not to know how the child of our bosom is entwined within the strings of our heart. Oh, Rebecca, daughter of my beloved Rachel, where each leaf on the tree a zecchin, and each zecchin mine own, all that mass of wealth would I give to know whether you are alive and escaped the hands of the Nazarene. Was not your daughter dark-haired, said one of the outlaws, and wore she not a veil of twisted sandal broidered with silver? She did, said the old man, trembling with eagerness, as formerly with fear. The blessing of Jacob be upon you. Can you tell me of her safety?
It was she, then, said the yeoman, who was carried off by the proud Templar when he broke through our ranks on yester eve. I had drawn my bow to send a shaft after him, but spared him for the sake of the damsel, who I feared might take arm from the arrow.
Oh, answered the Jew, I would to God you had shot through the arrow, and it had pierced her bosom. Oh, better the tomb of her fathers than the dishonourable couch of the licentious and savage Templar. Ichabod, Ichabod, the glory has departed from my house. Friends, said the chief, looking around, the old man is but a Jew. Nevertheless, his grief touches me. Deal upright with us, Isaac. Will paying this ransom of 1,000 crowns leave you altogether penniless? Isaac recalled to think of his worldly goods, the love of which by dint of inveterate habit contended even with his parental affection, grew pale, stammered, and could not deny that there might be some small surplus. Well, go to, what though there be, said the outlaw. We will not reckon with you too closely. Without treasure, you may as well hope to redeem your child from the clutches of Sir Brian de Bois Guilbert as to shoot a stag royal with a headless shaft. We will take you at the same ransom with Prior Aymer, or rather at 100 crowns lower, which 100 crowns shall be my own particular loss, and not light upon this worshipful community, and so we shall avoid the heinous offence of rating a Jew merchant as high as a Christian prelate, and you will have 600 crowns remaining to treat for your daughter's ransom. Templars love the glitter of silver shekels, as well as the sparkle of black eyes. Hasten to make your crowns chink in the ear of de Bois Guilbert, ere worse comes of it. You will find him, as our scouts have brought notice, at the next preceptory house of his order. Said I well, my merry mates? The yeomen expressed their wonted acquiescence in their leader's opinion, and Isaac, relieved of one half of his apprehensions by learning that his daughter lived and might possibly be ransomed, threw himself at the feet of the generous outlaw, and rubbing his beard against his buskins, sought to kiss the hem of his green cassock. The captain drew himself back and extricated himself from the Jew's grasp, not without some marks of contempt. No, no, up with you. I am English-born, and I have no love of such Eastern protestations. Kneel to God, and not to a poor sinner like me.
Aye, Jew, said Prior Aymer, kneel to God as represented in the servant of his altar, and who knows with thy sincere repentance and due gifts to the shrine of St. Robert, that grace you may acquire for yourself and your daughter. Rebecca, I grieve for the maiden, for she is of fair and comely countenance. I beheld her at the lists of Ashby. Also, Brian de Guilbois is one with whom I may do much. Bethink thee how you may deserve my good word with him.
Alas, alas, said the Jew, on every hand the spoilers arise against me. I am given as prey unto the Assyrian, and prey unto him of Egypt.
And what else would be the lot of thy accursed race? Answered the prior. For what saith Holy Writ? Verbum domini prejocerunt et sapientia est nulla in eis. They have cast forth the word of the Lord, and there is no wisdom in them. A propertiria dabo mulieris iorum exteris. I will give their women to strangers, that is, to the Templar, as in the present matter. Et thesaurus iorum harab dibius alienis, and their treasures to others, as in the present case to these honest gentlemen.
Isaac groaned deeply, and began to wring his hands and to relapse into his state of desolation and despair, but the leader of the yeomen led him aside. "Advise you well, Isaac," said Locksley. "What you will do in this matter, my counsel to you, is to make a friend of this churchman. He is vain, Isaac, and he is covetous. At least he needs money to supply his profusion. You can easily gratify his greed, for think not that I am blinded by your pretexts of poverty. I am intimately acquainted, Isaac, with the very iron chest in which you dost keep your money bags. What? Know I not the great stone beneath the apple tree that leads into the vaulted chamber under your garden at York? The Jew grew as pale as death. But fear nothing from me, continued the yeoman, for we are of old acquaintance. Do you not remember the sick yeoman whom your fair daughter Rebecca redeemed from the gyves at York, and kept him in your house till his health was restored, when you did dismiss him recovered and with a piece of money? Usurer as you are, you have never placed coin at better interest than that poor silver mark, for it has this day saved you 500 crowns.
And are you he whom we call Dick and Ben the Bow?
Said Isaac. I
thought I never knew the accent of thy voice.
I am Ben the Bow, said the captain, and Locksley, and have a good name besides all these.
Oh, but thou art mistaken, good Ben the Bow, concerning that same vaulted apartment, so help me heaven, as there is naught in it but some merchandise, which I will gladly part with to you.
100 yards of Lincoln green to make doublets to the men that serve you, and 100 staves of Spanish yew to make bows, and 100 silken bowstrings, tough, round, and sound. These I will send you for your goodwill, honest Dickon, and you will keep silent about the fault, my good Dickon?
Oh, silent as a dormouse, said the outlaw, and never trust me but I am grieved for your daughter. But I may not help it. The Templar's lances are too strong for my archery in the open field. They would scatter us like dust. Had I but known it was Rebecca when she was borne off, something might have been done. But now you must need to proceed by policy. Come, shall I treat for you with the prior?
In God's name, Dickon, if you can, aid me to recover the child of my bosom.
Do not interrupt me with your ill-timed avarice, said the outlaw, and I will deal with him on your behalf. He then turned from the Jew, who followed him, however, as closely as his shadow.
Prior Aymer, said the captain, come apart with me under this tree. Men say you love wine and a lady's smile better than becomes thy order, sir priest. But with that I have nothing to do.
I have heard, too, that you love a brace of good dogs and a fleet horse, and it may be well that, loving things which are costly to come by, you don't hate a purse of gold. But I've never heard that you did love oppression or cruelty. Now, here is Isaac willing to give you the means of pleasure and pastime in a bag containing 100 marks of silver, if your intercession with your ally the Templar shall avail to procure the freedom of his daughter.
In safety and honour as she was taken from me, said the Jew, otherwise it is no bargain.
Peace, Isaac, said the outlaw, or give up your interest. What say you to this my purpose, Prior Aymer?
The matter, quoth the prior, is of a mixed condition, for if I do good on the one hand, yet on the other, it goeth to the advantage of a Jew, and in so much is against my conscience. Yet if the Israelite will advantage the church by giving me somewhat over to the building of the dormitory at the abbey, I will take it upon my conscience to aid him in the matter of his daughter.
For 100 marks to the dormitory, said the outlaw.
Be still, Isaac, or for a brace of silver candlesticks to the altar.
We will not stand with you.
No, but good Dickon, bend the bow, said Isaac, endeavouring to interpose.
Good Jew, good beast, good earthworm, said the yeoman, losing patience. And you do go and put your filthy lucre in the balance with thy daughter's life and honour. By heaven, I will strip you of every maravedi you have in the world before 3 days are out. Isaac shrunk together and was silent.
And what pledge am I to have for all this? Said the prior.
When Isaac returns successful through your mediation, said the outlaw, I swear by St. Hubert I will see that he pays you the money in good silver, or I will reckon with him for it. In such sort, he had better have paid 20 such sums.
Yeah. Well, then, Jew, said Aymer, since I must needs meddle in this matter, let me have the use of your writing tablets. Hold, rather than use your pen, I would fast for 24 hours, and where shall I find one?
Oh, if your holy scruples can dispense with you using the Jew's tablets, for the pen I can find a remedy, said the yeoman, and bending his bow, he aimed his shaft at a wild goose which was soaring over their heads, the advance guard of a phalanx of his tribe, which were winging their way to the distant and solitary fens of Holderness. The bird came fluttering down, transfixed with the arrow.
There, prior, said the captain, a quill's enough to supply all the monks of Jorvaulx for the next 100 years, and they take not to writing chronicles.
The prior sat down, and at great leisure indited an epistle to Brian de Bois Guilbert, and having carefully sealed up the tablets, delivered them to the Jew, saying,
this will be thy self-conduct to the preceptory of Templestowe, and as I think it is most likely to accomplish the delivery of your daughter, if it be well backed with proffers of advantage and commodity at your own hand. For, trust me well, the good knight Bois Guilbert is of their co-fraternity. They do nothing for nothing. Well, Prior, said the outlaw, I will detain you no longer here than to give the due acquittance for the 500 crowns at which your ransom is fixed. I accept of him for my paymaster, and if I hear that you boggle at allowing him in his accompts the sum so paid by him, St. Mary refuse me, I will burn not the abbey over your head, though I hang 10 years the sooner. With a much worse grace than the wherewith he had penned the letter to Bois Guilbert, the prior wrote an acquittance, discharging Isaac of York of 500 crowns, advanced to him in his need for acquittal of his ransom, and faithfully promising to hold true counsel with him for that sum.
And now, said Prior Aymer, I will pray for you the restoration of my mules and palfreys, and the freedom of the reverend brethren attending upon me, and also the gimel rings and jewels and fair vestures of which I have been despoiled, having now satisfied you for my ransom as a true prisoner.
Touching your brethren, Sir Prior, said Locksley, they shall have present freedom. It were unjust to detain them. Touching your horses and mules, they shall also be restored with such spending money as may enable you to reach York, for it were cruel to deprive you of the means of journeying. But as concerning rings, jewels, chains, and what else, you must understand that we are men of tender conscience, and will not yield to a venerable man like yourself, who should be dead to the vanities of this life. The strong temptation to break the rule of his foundation by wearing rings, chains, or other vain gauds.
Think what you do, my masters, said the prior. Before you put your hand on the church's patrimony, these things are inter res sacris, and I wonder not what judgment might ensue were they to be handled by laical hands.
I will take care of that, Reverend Prior, said the hermit of Copmanhurst, for I will wear them myself.
If friend or brother,
said the prior in answer to this solution of his doubts, if you really have taken
religious orders, I pray you to look how you will answer to your official for the share you have taken in this day's work.
Oh, friend prior, returned the hermit, you are to know that I belong to a little diocese, where I am my own diocesan, and care as little for the Bishop of York as I do for the Abbot of Jorvaux, the prior, and all the convent.
You are utterly irregular, said the prior, one of those disorderly men who, taking on them the sacred character, without due cause profane the holy rites and endanger the souls of those who take counsel at their hands. Lapide pro pane condonantes eos, giving them stones instead of bread, as the Vulgate has it.
Nay, said the friar, and my brain pan could have been broken by Latin. It had not held so long together. I say that easing a world of such misproud priests as you art, of their jewels and their gimcracks, is as lawful a spoiling as it were the Egyptians.
You be a hedge priest, said the prior in great wrath. Excommunicado vos.
You be yourself more like a thief and a heretic, said the friar, equally indignant. I'll pouch up no such affront before my parishioners as you think it not shame to put upon me, although I be a reverend brother to you. Ossa ejus porfingerum. I will break your bones, as the Vulgate hath it.
Oh, said the captain, come, the reverend brethren, to such terms. Keep your assurance of peace, friar. Prior, have you not made your peace perfect with God? Provoke the friar no further. Hermit, let the reverend father depart in peace as a ransomed man.
The yeomen separated, the incensed priests, who continued to raise their voices, vituperating each other in bad Latin, which the prior delivered the more fluently, and the hermit with the greater vehemence. The prior at length recollected himself sufficiently to be aware that he was compromising his dignity by squabbling with such a head priest as the outlaw's chaplain, and, seeing being joined by his attendants, rode off with considerably less pomp and in much more apostolical condition, so far as worldly matters were concerned, than he exhibited before the encounter.
Well, that's Ivanhoe for today. I hope you've enjoyed the book reading, and I'll be back next Monday to continue on the story of Ivanhoe by Sir Walter Scott. Ah, the whole question of medieval churchmen and their rather interesting use of the Latin language. At any rate, until next week, keep warm, Braidwood.